In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for your indulgence. It's always good to get a few minutes with some of our youth group to remind them how important the Bible is as the blueprint for life, how essential it is to get into the Word as often as they can because it is the absolute centerpiece of who we are and what we do. And to remind them to ask the question in every situation of life, what would Jesus do before they take action? Or they do something that they'll regret later. And to be able to do that in such a loving way that they understand that when they gather together with the rest of the community, they do so with love and support and encouragement, and that the sacrament is about everything we're about. And so they'll be with us in a few minutes to share in that. They're sort of debriefing why the priest pops by once in a while, I think. Let me begin by telling you a story about a guy who was commissioned to create glue. A wonderful, magnificent glue. It would be the strongest glue in the universe. And he was a dismal failure. It was catastrophic. This stuff would kind of sort of stick for a minute and then let go. And everyone around him said, "You're a failure." Every one of them said, "Find a new line of work." Everyone around him said, "We can't believe you could be this stupid." And then somebody said to him, "I wonder what would happen if we used this product on little pieces of paper about this big and stuck them all together, and then they could stick on refrigerators or kitchen cabinets or..." And the rest of the room said, "That's the stupidest thing we've ever heard in our life." And now he's a billionaire and you and I aren't. My colleague, David Giffen of the Diocese of Toronto, put on his Facebook, "I ain't no saint." And then, in response to that, underneath he put, "God, colon, I'm not done with you yet." You need to know that today. Whether you're trying to create the greatest product the world has ever seen, or to simply live your life in work and at home to the best of your ability, in the words of my friend, Father David Giffen, God ain't done with you yet. As we celebrate Saints' Day, we celebrate those that we love that have gone before us. You know, every once in a while I'm accused of using this time and space for telling really bad jokes, and I just need to confirm that that's true. That's not today. So bear with me, because this is going to be a little difficult for all of us. Saints' Day is about celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ brought the gift of resurrection to the world. And that when somebody of faith dies, in the blink of an eye, they are in the presence of God. It's not them we cry for. It's us. I want to thank Catherine, who designed the robe for me today. Catherine is an extraordinary artist out of the Hamilton area. And I asked her for this robe to celebrate the memory of some close friends that I've lost this week and this month and this year. And I'm just like you. Have you ever had a very best friend? Some of you are sitting beside them. If you've ever had a very best friend, somebody you could depend on no matter what happened in your life, when everybody else walked out the door, they walked in. If you're sitting beside them, it's okay to just reach out and take their hand. It's okay. Nobody will be upset. Heaven knows we live in a world of critique and criticism and ridicule. And we need to celebrate the lives of those that we have loved who we see no longer. And that's what the Saints' Day is about. It's okay. It's important. Jesus had a best friend. A matter of fact, in Scripture, it says several times, the one whom Jesus loved. It was so obvious that these guys were best friends. It was incredible to watch from what we read. They hung together all the time. Every spare moment Jesus had, he spent with Lazarus. He trusted him implicitly. We can tell it was at Lazarus and Mary and Martha's home that Jesus stayed every time he had a chance. You can imagine Lazarus in the gospel today gets really sick. He probably missed his best friend. Why do you and I avoid going to the hospital when somebody we love is in the hospital? I'll tell you why. We're scared of what we're going to see. Sometimes it's pretty ugly, isn't it? We're scared of what's coming next. Jesus stayed away. We believe he did it in the context of prayer. We believe that what happened is that God whispered through the ages of wisdom into Jesus' heart and soul, you need to stay away because there is an opportunity for the glory of God to shine, and it needs to shine through you, but it needs to happen in the midst of grief and loss and desperation and anger and rage. Imagine Jesus' response. Great. And then he had to stay away for 3 days. This is important, 3 days. It'll come up in a minute. So eventually he goes, and when he gets there, Mary and Martha, who he loved beyond imagination, are standing there with their hands on their hip. And they lean in, and they say to him, if you were here, he'd be alive. And he began to cry. No, actually, that's a lie. He did not begin to cry. Nope. He began to weep. And if you study the Greek and the Hebrew and you study the word weep, it infers uncontrollable convulsions. He could hardly stand up. Now, why was he weeping? What was he weeping because he'd lost a friend? Was he weeping because he saw the people around him and he realized how little their faith was in the extraordinary gift of salvation God was about to give? Or was he weeping because as he looked at the tomb, he knew the cross came first for him? He was next. Why was he weeping? Maybe a combination of all of those things, and in the midst of all of that, Mary. Remember Mary? She was the one who walked into an event and anointed his feet and dried his feet with her hair. Now there is an intimate, connected friendship, a symbol of a preparation for burial. Wow. Remember Martha? She would sit at his feet and listen to everything he had to say. These are two people that he adored. And they are so hurt and so angry and so upset at this death. You know, I think it gives us a model for grieving. If you're part English or entirely English, this stuff upper lip thing has got to go. You need to be real and authentic in the midst of losing somebody you love. Jesus modeled it for us. It's really okay to cry when you need to. And sometimes that'll happen right away, and sometimes it'll happen weeks or months later. But let it happen. Jesus models it for us in the gospel today. And then the moment came, and Jesus realized, as he predicted his own death and resurrection, that it would all begin now. Some commentaries say this was the moment that the people around the inner circle would be notified of this moment, and the decision would be made. It was bad enough when he was teaching. Then he started healing. Now he raises people from the dead. Anybody with this much influence and this much power has got to go. We got to get rid of him. Some say that this was one of the moments that sealed his human fate, but completed God's plan. And he said, roll away the stone. And he called Lazarus out. And there was a resurrection. And the dead man became alive again. And they unwrapped him and set him free. Set him free. Set him free. It's not something we think about when we're holding somebody's hand when they die, that in moments they'll be set free. Set free from pain. Set free from loss. Set free from illness. That their meaning and their purpose has been completed in this world, and in the twinkling of an eye they'll be in the presence of God. We forget that in that resurrection, God's glory and his power over death was revealed to us. May I gently remind you that you are in this world, but not of this world. You're only here for a short time. Oh, Stephen, please tell us for what purpose. Some say it's to make as much money as possible. I've got some bad news. A couple things are for sure. Death and taxes. You're going to lose a significant portion of your hard work income. So I hope it's not just money. I hope that the centerpiece of your life is about love. To love as many people as you possibly can in as many different ways as you possibly can. It may be a spouse, children, relatives, neighbors, friends, the broader community in the context of social justice. But to love. You see, that was Jesus' purpose, and I think it was the other reason he was crying. That people hadn't really figured out that life was about loving each other. I need to tell you that not everybody is going to be excited about the fact that you want to love them. Some of them will find that really difficult. Be gentle with them. They don't love themselves. So they find it really hard for you to love them. But don't give up. Stay the course. This morning when I was with the teenagers, I asked them this question. Whenever you're making a decision, ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do? And whenever you have an opportunity to express love through sharing the gifts that you have, through words, through actions, through attitudes, through behavior, through prayer, share that love. And be at peace with this reality. If you've been to a doctor recently, and you've had what we call bad news, it's not a sentence to death. It is an explanation of what might kill you. There's a difference. Some of us already know. But determine today. Determine as Lazarus determined through the gift of new life. Determine today. Let me try to say this gently and quietly. Determine that when it is your time, you will not waddle into the kingdom of heaven. You will run full speed because you're late. You will arrive as if you are coming into home base. You will slide into the gates of heaven. And as you look up into the face of Jesus Christ, you'll say, I made it. Because you'll spend your whole life loving. Loving. On the way to resurrection. Amen.